From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. There's been a lot of postal news over the past week. I'll touch on three items, then I'll talk in some detail about H.R. 3076, the Postal Reform Act of 2021. Last Friday, immediately preceding the Memorial Day weekend, the United States Postal Service filed with the Postal Regulatory Commission a postage rate increase that averages about 6.8%. This increase would be under the new rate-setting authority approved earlier this year by the Postal Regulatory Commission. The bulk of the rate increase is attributable to the loss in mail volume per delivery point, in other words, the decline in mail density. Much to the chagrin of the mailing community, at the same time the agency is proposing to raise rates, the Postal Service is projecting to reduce the on-time delivery as compared to fiscal year 2020. According to a filing before the Postal Regulatory Commission, the Postal Service expects to deliver less than 88% of two-day delivery on time and less than 69% of 3 to 5 day delivery on time. The reduced targets were approved in May by the Board of Governors, that is, the six-member Board of Governors, which was without the newly confirmed governors Ron Stroman, Amber McReynolds, and Anton Hajar. At the same time, the Postal Regulatory Commission is in the midst of its review of the Postal Service's proposal to slow down the mail by increasing the amount of time it takes to deliver mail for a projected 40% of the nation's mail volume. Based on some preliminary analysis by parties intervening in the Postal Regulatory Commission's preparation for its advisory opinion on these new performance standards, it appears that Western states such as California, Oregon, and Washington, as well as Texas, Maine, and Florida, will be most impacted by the change in service standards. Lastly, earlier this week, President Biden submitted to Congress his fiscal year 2022 federal budget. For the first time in at least 4 years, the administration's budget includes no reductions to the health and retirement benefits of federal employees and retirees. The budget does not resurrect anti-employee proposals, such as requiring federal and postal employees to pay more into the retirement system, reduce annuities for future retirees, and restricting retiree cost of living adjustments. Now, let's turn to one of the bills that was favorably reported by the House Oversight and Reform Committee back on May 13th. That is H.R. 3076, the Postal Reform Act of 2021. This is the bill that was approved by a bipartisan voice vote and carries the sponsorship of Chairwoman Carolyn Maloney of New York and ranking Republican member James Comer of Kentucky. As I stated, the bill was approved by the committee in mid-May, and now it's pending before two other committees, the House Ways and Means Committee, chaired by Representative Richard Neal of Massachusetts, and the Energy and Commerce Committee, chaired by Representative Frank Pallone of New Jersey. Their respective committees have joint jurisdiction over one of the major provisions in the legislation, that is, the so-called Medicare integration provision, which means incorporating Medicare coverage for future postal retirees who are already entitled to Medicare coverage due to the fact that the retirees during their postal career contributed to Medicare, a contribution that was matched by the Postal Service. We'll talk about Medicare in a few moments. But first, H.R. 3076 has a Senate companion, Senate Bill 1720. And that bill was introduced by Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee Chairman Gary Peters of Michigan and the committee's ranking Republican member Rob Portman of Ohio. In addition, it currently has 20 other co-sponsors, which are equally divided between Democratic and Republican senators. One of the most widely supported provisions in both bills is the section that repeals the Postal Service's requirement to pre-fund future retiree health premiums and the past accumulated liability of those unpaid premiums. The bill would replace this 15-year-old unfair pre-funding requirement with a pay-as-you-go retiree health benefits funding model that would include an annual amortization payment for retiree health benefits. The second provision in the bill that garnered considerable attention and has been subjected to considerable misinformation is the establishment of a postal-only federal employees health benefits program component, that is, a component within the federal employees health benefits program, and just as the FEHBP is, it would be administered by the Office of Personnel Management. This postal component of FEHBP would replicate the existing FEHBP, with the exception of an enhanced Medicare integration model. Unlike previous versions of Medicare integration, with the input of the postal employee and retiree unions and associations, this version, that is, the version included in H.R. 3076, would enable all current postal retirees the option of enrolling in the new FEHBP with full Medicare coverage or remaining in the current FEHBP and forgoing Medicare coverage. This has been the sole request on behalf of those postal retirees who previously waived Medicare Part B coverage. Integration combined with repealing the pre-funding requirement would save the Postal Service over $50 billion over the next decade. That averages approximately $5 billion per year. Additionally, the provision of Medicare integration could save active and retired postal employees enrolled in a newly created postal FEHBP a considerable amount in FEHBP premiums as a result of Medicare being the primary insurer for those eligible for Medicare. In addition, the legislation would authorize a one-time open season during which those who had previously waived Medicare coverage to enroll penalty-free and join the postal FEHBP. Those who decide to remain in FEHBP, that is, without Medicare, may do so. This was the fervent request of some in the retiree community and was accommodated by members of Congress. Only 2 days prior to the committee vote on H.R. 3076, NARF, the National Association of Retired Federal Employees, the organization that has retiree members, shifted its position and altered its objection to the Medicare integration provision. The very solution it proposed, that is, choice between staying in FEHBP without Medicare or be going into a new postal FEHBP with Medicare, that very solution has emerged as a sticking point, namely providing retirees the choice of staying in FEHBP. The argument goes that providing such choice, which NARF advocated for, leaves FEHBP with a sicker, older population of non-Medicare participants, which would raise the premiums for non-postal FEHBP participants. Please understand, there is absolutely no empirical evidence that this would in fact occur. I think it's important to note that there is no basis that the FEHBP premiums will increase, since the postal population tends to be older than the non-postal population, and many older postal retirees who had previously waived Medicare coverage will elect to join the postal FEHBP with Medicare coverage. Nevertheless, even those postal employees who elect to stay in FEHBP without Medicare coverage, the Postal Service will still be obligated to pay the employer's share of the retiree premium for those retirees. And those are the retirees who elect not to take Medicare coverage and stay in FEHBP. More to the point, it is probable that FEHBP premiums for those who are not in the postal FEHBP will decline as a result of the creation of the new postal option due to the demographic differences between the postal and non-postal population. That is, the postal population tends to be older than the non-postal population. It is important for NAPS members to understand that congressional committee staff and legislative leaders are working to address the concerns relating to retiree choice, as they have done so for the past 2 years. And that process continues, and NAPS is engaged in that process. Another provision in HR 3076 would enable the Postal Service to increase revenue by selling and making available space to market products and services of other government agencies, including federal, state, county, municipal, and tribal entities. The legislation includes a provision that requires the United States Postal Service to publish its Postal Regulatory Commission reviewed performance targets with an online, publicly available dashboard on which the mailing public may evaluate postal on-time performance on a weekly basis by zip code. One of the other provisions that has gotten the attention of postal competitors is a provision to ensure that the postal network remains integrated. That is, the Postal Service would be able to maximize efficiencies through the use of its fleet and processing capacities to convey and process all postal products, whether they be competitive or market dominant, and to deliver those products 6 days a week. The Postal Service would not be able to segregate its competitive and market dominant products or treat them substantially different. For example, they wouldn't be able to create a separate fleet of vehicles that deal exclusively with the market dominant or market competitive products. UPS, for example, hoped to use the legislation to segregate the parcels, force the Postal Service to build out a separate processing and delivery network for that product, and dramatically increase the cost attributed to those products by virtue of creating a separate network. Postal mailers push back on the idea. There will be costs that are shared between competitive and non-competitive products, and they will be attributed to what are called institutional costs. However, the legislation includes a provision that the Postal Regulatory Commission study the cost attribution between market dominant and competitive postal products. Another provision in the legislation would provide opportunities for local newspapers, particularly local rural newspapers, to take advantage of a special in-county rate that is currently not available to them. One of the interesting and consequential provisions in the bill would be a change in the law to provide more opportunities to move mail by ground rather than by air. This provision would seem to validate the slower delivery of mail. As stated earlier, H.R. 3076 has been referred to other House committees. We await a Congressional Budget Office estimate of the bill, which would likely include its impact, if any, on Medicare. The Office of Personnel Management, the agency with administrative responsibilities over both the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program and the anticipated postal FEHBP, has yet to provide its analysis of the Medicare integration provision. Conventional wisdom, which is not necessarily accurate, would place the bill on the House floor prior to the summer congressional recess, which begins July 31st. It does not seem likely the Senate will take up its version of the bill, S-1720, before the acts, so it's going to be a long and hot summer for postal legislation. I want to thank NAPSChat listeners for logging on this week during the Memorial Day recess. If you enjoy NAPSChat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share NAPSChat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and healthy.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make